This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight, ATU Sligo are trying to secure a place in the All-Ireland Freshers A Championship Football Final. We're live to Ballinode in just a moment for news of their semi-final against UCD, which is well into the second half. On a momentous week for several local schools in colleges football, Summerhill College are back in a Connacht Senior A final on Saturday. St Clair's Manor Hamilton have won two in Enniscrone tomorrow evening. And this Sunday, Abbey Vocational School Donegal Town will attempt to become the first ever Donegal school to win Ulster College's A Championship, better known as the McCrory Cup. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan, the doyen of McCrory Cup football in Ulster. Seamus Woods is going to join us on the programme a little later to talk about its 101-year history, not his, the competition's, and why Donegal schools have struggled to get their name etched on that famous piece of GAA silverware up north. We'll also play you some highlights from the Donegal Sports Star Awards ceremony last Friday night. And if you enjoy swimming, be it out in the open water or in the pool, we've got you covered on the programme as well. More on that shortly. But let's begin by taking you to Gaelic football's Freshers A Football Championship and the pitch in Ballinode in ATU Sligo. Home advantage tonight for ATU's first-year Gaelic footballers, better known as the Freshers. They're playing UCD in the All-Ireland Freshers A Football semi-final. And reporter Gavin Cawley can bring us the very latest.
Yeah, thanks very much, Austin. Join us. It's UCD who lead this game by 2.18 to 9 points, as ATU Sligo have a free, and that has been converted over the bar for ATU Sligo. That come from Cavan native Cian Keeney, who scored 4 points for a side. Oisin Cronin has been the other scoring chief for ATU Sligo, but the key man for UCD has been the young forward from Claremars in County Mayo. That is probably well known by a lot of people already before. That is Niall Hurley, who has accounted for 5 of their side's points. And also, substitute from Dunclifford Ross point, Paul O'Brien has also got on the scoreboard as Sligo have won. The resulting mark from a free kick there. So they have a chance that they send this game to extra time. So it's deep here in injury time here, Austin. It's 10 points for 18 Sligo. It's 1-8 for UCD, and if you can just stay with us for the last maybe minute or so of this half and see if ATU can bring this game to extra time. It's the first time they've been in an All-Ireland Freshers semi-final since 1999, a long time ago, and would be a great achievement if they could get to the first All-Ireland final. A lot of work's been done, as we all know, at Sligo, and it's great for the college to have a lot of these players being playing as well. Niall Kenny, a brother of Johnny Kenny, has come on as a second half substitute to Sharma Gaelsman as well, so it's good to see him on the field of play. So without Eli Rooney, who was out to injury, hopefully he'll be back in time for the under 20 campaign, but not available for Conor McDonagh's side. They're deep in the UCD half. They've gone nearly to the quarter flag at this stage and see if they can work a score. They'll be looking to either get Keeney or Oisin Cronin on the ball. This is very high, but it looks like that is going to go to the wrong side of the course. It has indeed. So I'd say it's in the referee's discretion whether how much time he's blown. Looking at the time, we've played 2 minutes of this second half of extra time, injury time. So if you don't know if you want to stay with me, Austin, or do you want to come back to me and stop yourself?
Yeah, Gavin, we'll stay with you because you are deep and out of time there. So let's stay with this game and see if ATU Sligo can find the equaliser.
So there's going to be a kick out now for UCD. Sligo are going to go full court press, see if they can turn the ball over. See if it's going to go to the direction of Paul O'Brien for UCD. He's actually caught a fantastic ball around the middle, unfortunately, from ATU Sligo point of view, as they try to win the ball as quick as they can at the other side of the pitch. Ball eventually comes over to a relation of yours, Austin, that is Rian O'Callaghan, who has played very well for UCD. It eventually comes to Niall Hurley, who will just take the sting out of the attack from his perspective, and it looks like he's been fouled. He shoots eventually, and that should be the insurance score, as they now lead by 2 points for UCD. Another fantastic score from the Mayo under 20 footballer, Niall Hurley. That's the 6 point of the afternoon, and that leaves the score 2 points between the sides, 1-9 now to 10 points in favour of the Dublin College, as another Sligo man, Kyle Davey, will take the kick out, and looks like it's going to be one again by UCD to start coming top here around the middle of the field. But Sligo have turned the ball over again. So is there one last thing in the tail and see if we can get a goal opportunity? It's Niall Kenny who shows soccer ability, but no free. Looked like he was taken out of the play that time, but referee is waved on as we look at the stopwatch here and nearly 4 minutes of added time played. And that is the full-time whistle. It's ended up in a disappointing result for ATU Sligo. Full-time score here in the sports grounds here in a win for UCD. Too happy, Dumcliffe, for us as point men, will be happy to be in that All-Ireland final next weekend. But it finished up in a win here. 1-10 for 1-9 for UCD, 10 points for ATU Sligo. And with back to you in the studio, Austin.
Gavin, thanks for that. That's Gavin Cawley describing the closing moments of that All-Ireland Freshers A Championship semi-final. Disappointment for ATU Sligo. They pushed UCD all the way, but they've been beaten by 2 points there. UCD a goal and 9 points. ATU Sligo 10 points. We'll try and bring you some reaction from the ATU camp before the end of the programme, if we can. But ATU Sligo's run in the All-Ireland Freshers comes to an end at the semi-final stage in Ballinode this evening. We'll keep you in touch as well with tonight's Sigerson Cup semi-final. Lots of Leitrim, Sligo and Donegal interest in the DCU team who are playing the holders Ulster University right now under the lights of Kingspan Breffni in Cavan. Luke Marn of Bun and Adden, Owen Smith, Drumcliffe Ross's Point, the Shamrock Gales duo of Lee Kerrigan, and Sean Carroll, also Tom Pryor and Paul Moran from Ballinamore, Shauna Heslins, and the Downings duo of Donegal of Ronan Gallagher and Johnny McGrady. They're all part of the DCU team, and we'll let you know how they're getting on in their Sigerson Cup semi-final, which is underway since 8 o'clock against the holders Ulster University. We'll bring in news on that a bit later on. More Gaelic football chat to come, but next to this year's Metal Man Swim Series in Sligo, which has sold out again less than 24 hours after online entries opened. The open water swimming event is going to have a capacity start list once more of 350 swimmers in Ross's Point on Saturday the 14th of June. Shane O'Doherty is the founder of the Metal Man Swim Series. When he started it back in 2009, I think there were about 15 swimmers on the start line. It's changed a bit since then. And Shane is also PRO of County Sligo Swimming Club. And he's in studio with me this evening. Shane, good evening to you.
Hey, Austin, how are things? And just to start, thank you again for having me on. And you've always been good to swimming in Sligo, so we appreciate that.
Not a problem. Why does the Metal Man work so well? Like, you open the entries and it just fills up just like that, year in, year out.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder myself. Well, it's been there so long. I think what happens is that there are people that come to it every year. We have swimmers from all over Ireland. So we have a lot from Longford, from Oma in particular. They get used to going to it. They go with their friends, with their swim circles, and they keep coming.
Okay. Now, remind people who know nothing about the Metal Man Swim Series. I went for a walk along the coastal route around Ross's Point this morning, and everybody can see the great landmark out in the bay, the Metal Man, to help Seacraft, etc. So what is the Metal Man Swim Series? Give us a beginner's guide.
Yeah, so the statue is a navigational guide. We did go out to it 1 year for promotional photos. It was great fun. We got a full page, I think, in the Weekender with it. But we don't swim there. It's quite dangerous, actually, in that area. So we swim on the beach. So we do a triangular course. So our swimmers can choose from a 1, 2 or 3K swim. So they're busy doing loops there. We keep it on the second beach mostly, just for tidal reasons and stuff like that. But we also get quite a lot of spectators come down as well. So you can pick from a 1, 2 or 3. And that's kind of how it works. And we, like our newer swimmers, will sometimes do the 1K. Some of the 3K swimmers may be doing a long distance triathlon. They may be doing a long swim. We also have swimmers who are planning to swim the English Channel. So they would be doing the 3K and stuff like that. So it's, I think the variety helps as well. We have age categories for prizes. So it makes people feel like they're in with the shout of something. Okay. As well.
And it's in June each year. You've Saturday the 14th of June, your date this year. So you're taking a calculated punt that the weather's going to be reasonably kind to you.
This is what keeps me awake at night the week before. And it's actually the wind. I don't really care. Well, I do care if it's raining. But if the wind is up, that's obviously a big problem. But we do have a backup and it has saved us many times. Where we go to Mullaghmore. So Mullaghmore faces in a different direction and it's very sheltered and it's actually a really nice place to swim as well.
Okay, so this sold out. I watched your online platforms today and you posted that that the event has sold out. What if I'm one of those Metal Man Swim Series regulars and just took my eye off the ball and I've missed my slot? Is there any hope?
There's always hope. So we have a reserve list. So the Core Timing website, Core Timing do our entries and they also do our timing. They're a local company, which is nice to keep it local. So we'll be sharing details soon of that reserve list. So if anyone's missed out, there's always people that pull out. We can normally accommodate everyone that wants to do it.
Okay, so if they keep an eye on coretiming.ie or the Metal Man Swim Series online social media platforms, there'll be an alert there if there is space opening up.
Exactly. Now, I do have a little bit of a bombshell and we are live, so it's actually, you're not expecting this, but we did have a little chat beforehand and you were telling me how well your swimming lessons with Sheila Ryan were going. So, yeah.
She might think to differ, but anyway.
No, Sheila's a great coach. So we've actually got a space for you. It's complimentary. Your name's down for it. You can choose a 1, 2 or 3. And I've heard you're doing really well. So I'm going to talk to Sheila and just make sure you're ready for it. And one of your predecessors here as well, Francie Boylan, he actually did the swim about 5 years ago.
Right.
And he brought his mic out and got, you could do the same.
Okay, have you the RNLI on standby, you do?
We will, yeah.
Okay.
We have the civil defence, we have an ambulance, they've got oxygen defibrillators, so you've nothing to worry about.
Right, well, okay, we will talk about that off air, Shane, but thank you for the invitation.
Thanks for confirming that you'll take
nonetheless.
Part.
This, of course, is outdoor open water swimming, which has just got so popular. I mean, I've lost track of how many people are outdoor swimmers now, and we've spoken about this before and you have previously on this station, but it shows no sign of abating, Shane.
It doesn't, and we kind of talked about this last time, and if you remember, we thought that maybe it's because the pub culture is kind of going away a little bit. People want to do something with their mornings, so they're getting out to Ross's Point and having a sea swim. They're going to the pool and having a swim. So yeah, we have Glen Carr. That's down your way, actually, down your direction. So that's on in September. The Channel Cup is in September as well. And that goes close enough to the Metal Man, but not that close. So that's a really nice swim as well. The fundraiser for the RNLI. And then Enniscrone Swim will be on as well. So that's a Swim Ireland event. Then there's one in Ballina, the Salmon Swim. There's events all over the place, and that's before you even talk about the triathlons that will be on as well. So it's got big, and it's not just the competitive swimmers, it's also the dippers, as they're known, the dry rope brigade, some people call them. But they mightn't stay in for as long, and I've done it, it's great. My wife does it all the time, so I should be careful what I say. But I mean, she always comes home and in good form, good mood. It gives people a real lift. So I think over the last 10 years, we've realised what we have on our doorstep. And there's lots of things we don't have, but we have beautiful coastline, so why not use it?
Let's have a quick chat about indoor swimming, because you're also PRO of County Sligo Swimming Club, and there's lots happening, lots has just happened, and lots coming down the track. Give us a quick up sum, please.
Yeah, we're actually, we talked about it, we're the biggest swim club in this region, probably in Connacht. We have over 200 members, so they age and range from 8 up to 80, literally. We have an adult section now as well, known as Masters. So we've got lots of galas on all the time. The schools gala was just on at the weekend, actually. So we had a lot of the schools that compete under the banner of their schools, but our club was extremely busy with all the different schools. So, Summerhill, the Erskine, the Grammar, national schools as well. So I won't go through all this, there's too much to go through, but we had a really good event. Lots of wins, lots of personal bests, lots of happy kids representing their schools, which we think is really good as well.
Okay, and more championships coming down the track?
Yeah, if you're a swim parent, you're, the curse of being a swim parent. And I always say the difference between Gaelic football and soccer and swimming, there's how many Gaelic clubs in Sligo? Maybe 30. Yeah. There's one swimming club in Sligo. The next one is, you know, at least an hour and a half away.
Yeah, so you're travelling
all the time. So it's kind of like the mum's taxi service on steroids. So, but we have the Bangor one is coming up. That's the McCullough Invitational. That's on, I think, next weekend. And then we have a fairly big one, which is Connacht Open Long Course. So swimming is done in long course and short course. So short course would be the sports complex, which is 25 metres. Mm-hmm. Long course would be what you see on TV when you watch the Olympics. So that's coming up as well.
Now, the interesting thing about that, you mentioned the Bangor swimming complex. I'm familiar with, having worked up north. It's a lovely 50 metre pool. The Connacht Swimming Championships long course aren't held in Connacht for one very obvious reason.
Yeah, it's exactly what you thought. We don't have a long course pool in Connacht. Whatever about not having one in Sligo, it's very odd that we don't have one
so
in Connacht.
So just to be clear for people, and a lot of listeners to this station will be aware of this, Connacht has no 50-metre swimming pool. The province that has produced an Olympic bronze medalist in Mona McSherry. And this is a much talked about thing, but it's obviously a logistical issue for swimming clubs in this province.
It is. It's not that complicated. You know, a man went on the moon 50 or 60 years ago. I'm sure there's been a lot of politicians through your doors here at Ocean FM the last few weeks. It's probably got a bit quieter now after the elections. But this is, you know, wherever it ends up, I don't know where it ends up, but Limerick is our nearest one, which is a good 2.5 hours drive. So if Mona McSherry's home for Christmas, and I've seen her, she goes to the complex, which is a great pool, but it isn't long course. So it's odd.
So where are the Connacht Swimming Championships going to be? 50 metre?
In the University of Limerick.
In Limerick, okay.
Which is just, I did my master's there. It's an absolutely wonderful campus. It has a brilliant feel. It feels like a US sports college or something. I mean, the facilities, they're just off the scale. Connacht rugby train there in the gyms. It's just another level.
And what would a 50-metre pool do for a club like County Sligo? Let's imagine for a moment a pool is built. Let's say whether it's Ballyhaunis or Tuam or Galway, Roscommon, Carrick-on-Shannon or Sligo. What would it mean for a club like yours?
What happens is that County Sligo, and not just County Sligo, lots of other clubs, we train in our 25-metre pool, and the sports complex is a wonderful facility. They're doing lots of upgrades this year, and they're doing great work and we love it. It's our home. If we go to a long course championships, we're not used to it. And this happens to me personally as well, because I swim at these galas. It's, you know, you're just not used to it. It's built into your muscle memory that the wall is coming and it doesn't come. So we try to do what we can. We arrange trips for our swimmers. We did one recently where we arrange a bus, we arrange time in Limerick or wherever, the National Aquatic Centre in Dublin. That's not ideal. So, the kids and the adults in our club are swimming against people who are used to training in 50-metre pools, and we're not. So, it does put us at a disadvantage. It doesn't have to be in Sligo. You know, there's lots of places it could be. But to go from the top of Donegal to Limerick, there's no 50-metre pool in between. And I'm not sure how long of a drive that is, but that must be four hours, would it be, or five?
It's certainly a hike, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's just an unusual one and, you know, we kind of feel a bit forgotten in some ways.
Yeah, and I mean, has the McSherry effect or the Daniel Whiffen effect, the kind of swimming's profile has risen nationally? Like, you know, is there some way that swimming can harness that in this part of the country?
Yeah, I mean, like with Mona McSherry and Daniel Whiffen, they've captured the imagination of all swimmers, in particular the kids. So we've had Mona McSherry doing a breaststroke technique clinic with us before. So the kids can see what's possible. Someone that trained in a pool just up the road from here can get to the very top level in the world. Daniel Whiffen, I don't know if you watched the swims, but that was what he did was just, you know, it's hard to believe what he did. It was so impressive.
Sure. Before we finish, you better give a shout out to the miniature Daniel Whiffen and Mona McSherry in your house or you'll be in trouble.
Yeah, I need to be careful here. So, I just want to say hi to little Oisín and Cuiva O'Doherty. And Oisín's in first class in Rathcormac NS and Cuiva is in junior infants, not in baby infants, as I mistakenly said to her yesterday and she was quick to correct me. So, and one last, I have a question for you. they're asking me about the Gaelic Drumcliff Ross's Point when it starts up again.
March the 1st.
I better.
That's the date for your diary or your phone.
Maybe the wellies for the first day.
There you are. Shane O'Doherty, thank you very much for coming in. Good luck with the Metal Man Swim Series in June, with the Connacht Swimming Championships, long course, albeit they're in Limerick, and lots more coming up for County Sligo over the season ahead, I'm sure.
Thanks again, Austin, for everything.
Thank you, Shane. That's Shane O'Doherty, and you'll find County Sligo Swimming Club's online platforms in all the usual places if you want to get more information. Now, this Sunday coming is a history-making one for Abbey Vocational School in Donegal Town. They're getting ready to contest the first ever Ulster College's McCrory Cup final in Gaelic football. They're taking on the 16-time winners, St. Pat's Mahara, at Celtic Park in Derry on Sunday afternoon. We will bring you that final live here on Ocean FM. The McCrory is more than a century old. In that time, no Donegal school has ever won it. In fact, you have to go back to 1961 to find the last time a Donegal school reached the final. That was St. Eunan's College of Letterkenny. The eight other Ulster counties have all produced McCrory Cup winners down through the decades. So why hasn't, you might ask, Donegal, given all the football the county has? Well, that's a question I put to the doyen of the McCrory Cup, Seamus Woods, who's the Ulster School Secretary and Competition Coordinator of the McCrory.
I suppose part of the explanation is, you know, it's a county level, in that I believe there are so many post-primary schools in Donegal. There are over 20, I believe. And it means that the talent, which has always existed and still exists, that talent has been spread thinly across those schools. So there's always been players capable performing and winning at that level, but it hasn't come to pass. I can think of no other Ulster county, in fact, of the nine, which is without a McCrory Cup title. All of them have at some stage, except for Donegal. And I believe that's part of the explanation. It's actually the comparatively large number of schools in the county. I know, compared to Tyrone, there's maybe 10 or 12 second level schools, which is less than half of the what you do have in Donegal. So I think that's a large part of the explanation. Second one, the history of the McCrory Cup, it was dominated less in recent decades, but in original decades, and remembering this is the 101st McCrory Cup, 101st centenary year was last year, but dominated in those early decades by diocesan colleges, boarding colleges, and the larger ones, Armagh, Cavan, and the like. They who dominated, and that's what happened in the other provinces as well. You have those iconic places, like when we were growing up hearing about St. Giles, Tuam, and St. Mel's Longford, they have all disappeared off the St. Brendan's, Killarney. They have all virtually disappeared of the winners' tables in recent decades as the day schools have established themselves. The first day school to win a McCrory Cup was actually Abbey CBS in Uri in 1955, or 1954 actually. That was the first ever day school, because day schools at that time couldn't compete with the diocesan colleges, which had a very wide geographical pick. Some of those teams were like United Nations, and dominated accordingly. So Donegal then, St. Eunan's, while it was a diocesan college as well, it wouldn't have been as big or as powerful, and I suppose it wouldn't have been, in terms of school of the college numbers, it wouldn't have been as big as some of the others. St. Eunan's actually reached three finals. That would be the last one. I suppose it's been well publicised in recent weeks. Last one was 1961. There have been two previous ones in 1959 and 56. Those were their three appearances and finals, all of which were unsuccessful. So it's 64 years since we've had Donegal representation in the McCrory Cup final.
So, Seamus, in that respect, is it a breath of fresh air to see Abbey Vocational School in the McCrory Cup final programme at Celtic Park in Derry this Sunday?
It certainly is. It certainly is. Abbey made a big impression last year when they won the McLaren Cup, our B Championship, and then went on to win the All-Ireland B title against a very strong Ashbourne team. Remember being at that final in Clonus, and everybody there was immensely impressed by what, by what that team could produce and did produce. And significantly, a significant number of that team were back in school this year again. I know part of the conversations, among the conversations I had in Clonus on that day, was first of all with the team mentors, inviting them to step up to McCrory Cup. And also conversations with figures within Donegal GAA and about the fact that the county did not have representation in the McCrory because St. Unions have dropped down a level there in the last 3 or 4 years. And so Donegal did not have any representation at all. And my opinion would be that that experience, which when you're talking McCrory, you're talking inter-county level, of course, inter-county standard, and how that was bound to bring players on and establish players in their own heads as belonging at a higher level. So it came to pass this year. Actually, we had two teams. Abbey bravely stepped up to A level, and then we also had an entry from Southwest Donegal Combination, and they acquitted themselves commendably as well, because they actually made that derby match, which was a unique event in itself, 2 weeks ago in Ballyshannon, when the Abbey beat the Southwest by 2 points on a Saturday afternoon in Ballyshannon, when we were hosted on a marvellous pitch, and that was the weekend of the storm, hosted on a marvellous pitch by the Aurora Club there, by Tom Daly and his cohort of helpers. That in itself was a big, big occasion, because part of that, not only was it a Donegal derby, which was unprecedented, it wouldn't have happened in the previous 100 years. Not only that, but then a Donegal team was guaranteed to be in the final, and that's how the Abbey Vocational School has come to contest next Sunday's match in Celtic Park.
And their opponents, Seamus, will be a very well-known McCrory Cup school. For people listening to this interview who might not be that familiar with the heritage and history of the McCrory Cup, AVS are playing St. Pat's of Maharaa, and I suppose in terms of, again, the role of honour of the Ulster Colleges A Championship, they would be one of the Kerry or Dublin's historically of McCrory Cup successes.
Absolutely. St. Pat's Maharaa first entered the competition, that would have been about in the late 70s, and there was a period of time right through the 80s when they were perennial finalists, and there was an enormous rivalry built up at that time between themselves and St. Coleman's Newry, and they were almost like a guaranteed fixture come final time, either or, and mostly Maharaa at that particular time. Now, Maharaa's dominance has been less pronounced in the last couple of decades. They were last in the final in 2016 when they beat Bessbrook. Coincidentally, at that time, another first-time entrant beat Bessbrook in 2016, and they haven't won a title since, and that is highly unusual that 8 years would have elapsed without the McCrory Cup making its way to Maharaa. The formidable school in football and in hurling terms, in Gaelic games terms, the iconic manager back during the 80s and 90s and Adrian McGuckin, and they year on year produced formidable teams that were They were the standard bearers. They were the yardstick by which everybody else sought to measure themselves. and mostly with little success.
What is the ongoing appeal of the McCrory Cup, do you think, Seamus, as someone who has been involved with this competition for so many years? During my time living up north, I mean, the McCrory Cup, you didn't need to explain what it was. Everybody in sport knew what the McCrory Cup was. It has such a treasured place in Ulster Gaelic games. What do you think its enduring appeal is?
Well, first of all, it's longevity. And it's, as I said, it's the 101st year. It's tradition, the tradition of producing not just formidable teams from schools, but also highly attractive matches. I know of people in the Gaelic Games Arena who wouldn't miss McCrory Cup final each year. I can speak. I've been involved now as the coordinator of the competition since 2004, and now in my 21st year at it. And I can say, in all of that time, our attendances have never been less than 6,000, with a high of 9,500 in 2016. Over 6,000. And then, of course, you'll always have the followers and the student population from the individual schools involved. But you also have, noticeably, Gaelic Games aficionados, Gaelic Games purists, who look to the competition for its standard, its reputation, the quality of games that it produces, the quality of teams that are there in view. And remember as well that the standards involved, the minors no longer under 18, it's under 17, of course, inter-county. But the reality is that year on year, without fail, the McCrory Cup winners would undoubtedly, standard-wise, have surpassed what you have at provincial minor title winners. So that's the standard that always pertained and still does pertain. And the standard, the quality of football involved, thankfully in our schools, we haven't been as badly affected by the trend of the last couple of decades towards defensive football and 15 behind the ball and all of that. That is the disproportionate amount of hand passing, those unattractive features of the game that have emerged at the county level and club as well. In the last couple of decades, that the schools have largely, not entirely, but largely escaped that. And that's a trend, I think, that commends it in the eyes of the viewing public as well.
Seamus Woods on the enduring appeal of Gaelic football's McCrory Cup and this Sunday's Ulster College's McCrory Cup final between AVS Donegal and St. Pat's Mahara of Derry will be live from 3 o'clock here on Ocean FM, courtesy of Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road in Donegal Town. Michael Daly and Peter Campbell will describe the action from Celtic Park in Derry. And two men I had planned to make contact with this week to get their thoughts on this historic week for AVS Donegal were two of the men who did so much to develop Gaelic football for many years at Abbey Vocational School in Donegal Town. And I'm talking of Pádraig O'Donnell and Donny McCall, who did so much coaching there behind the scenes for so many years. I wonder what they're thinking on a week like this when they see the school they work so closely with reaching the Ulster College's A football final this weekend. More from AVS in just a moment, because we're going to talk now about last Friday night's Donegal Sports Star Awards, which were held at the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny, the 49th edition of the awards. Well-known jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall winning the overall Sports Star Award. Patsy McGonigal of Finn Valley Athletic Club, the founder of the Finn Valley Athletic Club fraternity, of course, was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And there were countless other award winners as well. We've published a list on the Ocean FM website in the sports news section. We're going to hear from a flavour of the winners. AVS Donegal took the secondary school school sport award. We'll hear from their principal, Alan Thompson, on this big week for the school in a short while. And for former AVS student, Pather Mogan, who was the Gaelic football winner last Friday night. But first to some of the other recipients, among them Eugene Gallagher from Sean McCool's GA Club in Ballybofey, the man with the keys to McCool Park in Ballybofey. He won a special appreciation award on Friday night as well.
An award of the history of my life. As I say, treasurer, and I stepped down from treasurer of the club here at the AGM there in December. As of now, there's still no treasurer to be got.
There's no escape, Eugene, is there?
I'm still involved. Hopefully there'll be one now in the next couple of weeks, as far as I can figure out anyway. So I'll just stay on for another couple of weeks. So that's 50 years I became treasurer in 1975.
What has been the attraction, what has been the joy for you being around the club, being around the ground?
Well, I played football all my life, more or less, and as I say, I won a senior championship in 1971 with McCool's, we beat Clannagh in the final in Ballyshannon. A few years later, I had a bad knee injury, I think it was 73-74, and I tried to come back after it. Them times you didn't do much practice to get back in again, so I retired from football, and then I took on the treasurer of the club in 1975. So I'm there since, for 50 years, more or less. Just I'm involved with football. The wife wouldn't say that to me if I was...
But you're the guy, if we need to open up McCool Park and Ballybofey, whether it's players, Jim McGuinness, yeah. Brian McAniff, managers, club mentors, yeah. Whether it's the media, yeah. Supporters or Ulster GA or Croke Park officials, you're the guy they go to.
Mostly all right. I have all the keys all right. The wife be reaching out to me. She says that you should be leaving that door after some of the rest of the boys. But I'm there and I'm retired from work and I give them all my time to it, more or less.
Whether it was as a player or a mentor or club administrator or just official at the ground, of all the matches and training sessions you've seen at McCool Park and Ballybofey, what for you was the most momentous or maybe the most chaotic or the one that just jumps out as you look back on it all?
Well, to be fair, when they're a match in Ballybofey, I don't see the match, but I'm involved in doing gates, doing shop, doing lotto, selling tickets and stuff like that, and getting people organised. And so I very seldom see a match.
You hear the roars, though. What was the loudest McCool Park roar? Was there a moment or a goal or a score that jumps out in your mind?
It's hard to know now. There were a couple of great games there I liked against Armagh. Armagh was very good, them games.
And you're sticking around, like you're not retiring. We're still going to see you at McCool Park in Ballybofey.
Maybe Austin, if you're there tomorrow, I'll be there. I'll be there and I'll be getting rid of the cash in of it, hopefully. It's a big problem with the cash in of it and big matches like that, because you're holding cash for programmes tomorrow, as a matter of fact, shops, half-time draw and all that, and it amounts up to money. And you have to be careful with it and keep it.
Security and safety is no joke in the modern era.
Security, yes. I would have a lot of money in the house for tomorrow now.
you better not say that on the radio.
Austin, because you might be in the house tonight. But that's the way it goes, and I enjoyed my career at the club, all right. But I'm getting on in years. I'm 76 now, and so the wife says, just time you hung up the books. I hung up the boots now, it's the books, she says. So hopefully there'll be a new treasure in place now in the next couple of weeks.
Don't hold your breath, Eugene, but congratulations on your appreciation
award. Thank you very much, thank you.
Pather Mogan, the Gaelic Football Award recipient here in Letterkenny. You've always struck me as a very modest guy when it comes to collecting accolades. Am I right about that?
Look, you know, it's not... I suppose it's not to be all and end all to go out and accept or get individual awards. Like, you know, it's all more about the team, and at the end of the day you want to do your best to put your best foot forward for your county or your club and collect something as a team. You know, it's special, like, but I suppose it is lovely to be recognising these things and collect, and I suppose maybe in, you know, 10 or 12 years when you finish up playing that you can look back and really probably cherish it then.
Very exciting time, though, to be playing Gaelic football in a county like Donegal.
It's brilliant, I suppose, now with the new rules and everything. You know, it adds a huge amount of excitement. I suppose there's a great bit of unknown too with the new rules, which is brilliant, I think, in a way, and it really probably has a, you know, put a lot of emphasis now on GAA and Gaelic games has really brought it really more exciting, and there's a lot more interest in it. So look, I think it's only good for the game, and you know, hope we can grow with the game now with these new rules.
You're a proud St. Noel's man. Did you go to school in AVS?
I went to school in the AVS. Now they're putting us to real shame over there, doing unbelievable. Do you know, we're extremely proud of them. Like, and as being an ex-AVS student, like, you know, you're just completely rooting for them. I was there last year after the Ulster final in Athletic Ground, you know, and it'd be brilliant to see them go on and win a Macquarie Cup.
It's a lovely buzz to see your old school getting ready for a Macquarie final, which is the pinnacle of college's football in Ulster.
I mean, never in my time did I think that we'd have a Donegal school competing in a Macquarie final, never mind just the AVS, which is one's school, like, you know, from Donegal, like, especially Donegal Town. You know, it's amazing. I think it's credit to the clubs, to the three clubs, you know, and especially for Masters. You've seen the work they've done underage, and I think really the Abbey's playing fruition in that now.
Heather, congrats on your award.
Thank you very much.
Well, the Special Athlete Award is shared tonight between three wonderful athlete groups, and one of them here is a proud Ballyshannon swimmer, Owen Rooney from Nemo Swim Club, who has won the award again. This isn't your first time to win this award, is it?
Well, it is good, and I swam in Italy and Turkey, and then I swam in Oma and in Tyrone and Belfast cut the antrum, and I won my PBs and my times. And
you've been all over the place so swimming, have you?
I was all over the world. My family, my aunties, my uncles, my cousins is up comments on Facebook.
What's the best thing about swimming?
The best time of my swimming is doing my butterfly, and I love doing 2 days butterfly, and it's really good.
So is butterfly your favourite stroke?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Well, congratulations, Owen, on a great award tonight. You got a great reception from the crowd.
Thank you so much.
Well, this is Tegan O'Reilly from Drumbar United, a winner here of a Para Athlete Award. A lovely award to get, Tegan.
Yep. I wasn't really expecting it, to be honest, but it's been a great year of sport, especially taking part in the Deaf Olympics. Especially that there's not many deaf people around Ireland. Like, it's good to get good results coming from that. So, yeah, it's been a positive year.
You're a busy sports athlete. Drumbar United, four Masters LGFA, Abbey Vocational School. Where do you fit it all in?
I don't really know, to be honest. I do have a big family, so we're all very sporty. So I don't know, to be honest. Like, I like doing all the sports, just keeping it all up. Just, yeah.
And representing Ireland at international level must have been a special honour.
Yeah, it's something I never thought would happen, especially with growing up deaf. So I thought I'd only stop at club level, but to be able to make it to international level is something I could only ever dream of. So it's a dream come true. So
yeah, I think Sligo's Laura McGuinn would have been a teammate of yours on the Irish Deaf Olympics team. So plenty of Northwest interest there.
It is, yeah. There's a lot from the North now coming this year, especially because we have a World Cup coming up this year. So there's a lot of new from the North coming. So it's good. Yeah.
And what about your home club, Drumbar United?
Yeah, it's going great. Starting the seniors this year, we are struggling for numbers though. So if there's any girls that want to play, they need to come out and support the team. So yeah.
You're recruiting teammates if they're interested.
Yeah, recruiting new girls is important to keep the team going.
But a lot of work has gone into women's soccer in Drumbar over the years.
Yeah, especially underage level. We've gotten on so well, getting some silverware along the way. So yeah, it's important to keep that going with the girls.
I won't ask you finally to rank your favourite sports because you've got a few things going on at the moment, but what are your ambitions for the 12 months ahead?
Ambitions, just to keep striving and keep going well with the international level, keep scoring more goals as well, especially, and get Ireland up to a better rank at the moment, yeah.
And can I take you back just to the Deaf Olympics? I think I remember Laura telling me that one of the prerequisites in the Deaf Olympics is that all the players take their hearing aids out to level the playing field before the match.
Yeah.
That must be a very unusual scenario for the various players.
Yeah, it's very unusual. you can't wear any sort of hearing devices on when you're in the arena, unless if you do, then you get a yellow card even before the game starts. So it's a very different experience to playing here, because when I'm allowed to play with the hearing aids in, so yeah, it's a very different level of playing field.
Talking to you, I'd have no idea that you have an auditive impairment. I mean, it clearly isn't holding you back sporting-wise.
No, it doesn't seem to be. I seem to be one of the more lucky ones. A lot of people find it really hard getting on with deafness in life. So, yeah, I'm pretty lucky getting with what I have now at the moment, so I'm very happy with it.
Well, the Secondary School of the Year award goes to, it will come as no surprise, Abbey Vocational School in Donegal Town. The school's principal, Alan Thompson, is here with me. Reflecting on a truly memorable 12 months of sport, which is continuing from 2024, Alan Thompson, into 2025.
Absolutely. It's been a spectacular year for us. Right across all of the different sports we've had. Obviously, we've had some fantastic successes, both in the Gaelic, obviously, with the McLaren Cup, the Paddy Drummond Cup, and as you say, continuing on now to the McCrory Cup. But even in the soccer, we had the Ulster Final, and right across all of the range of sports, has been great. And this recognition really this evening is for all of the students and staff who make a contribution to sport in our school, not just the big successes.
That's important to say. I know the Gaelic football gets the lion's share of media attention sometimes, but this was a pan-sport achievement, from volleyball to discus to track and field athletics to soccer to basketball. There was a full gamut of sport here for AVS.
There was, absolutely, and you can add badminton to that. We're adding darts now to the platform as well. So yeah, it's a big school. We have a lot of students with a lot of different talents and aptitudes, so we want to put on as much sport as we can to support
them. And you're here this weekend with a selection of your students. I see Kevin Muldoon has finally got rid of the blonde highlights.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but
you've got a great 10 days ahead with the McCrory Cup final coming. There must be a wonderful buzz on the corridors of AVS right now.
There absolutely are. It's just awash with red and white at the moment, with flags and bunting up all over the place, and it's a great vibe in the school. It's great to see the students feeding off that as well, and there's a great energy there at the moment.
And it must help the school academically, this extracurricular enjoyment success.
Absolutely. It's you know, sound in body, sound in mind. It's such a good thing for people's mental health to have that outlet, and it just gives them great skills for life as well. You know, that teamwork, that cooperation, all of those things all go together with sport, and they really do complement each other. People who really get involved in sport do excel academically as well, and we see that with our own students there. The ones that experience success in sport want to experience that same success academically too.
Alan Thompson, principal of Abbey Vocational School, congrats on your secondary school award tonight.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And it's not the only accolade that he's hoping his school can win before the weekend is out in this McCrory Cup final week. We will bring you live commentary on AVS Donegal against St. Pat's Maharaj, the Ulster College's McCrory final, live from Celtic Park in Derry this Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock throw-in, and it's live courtesy of Donegal Plumbing and Heating. The day before Saturday, we have three live commentaries for you. Summerhill College of Sligo against St. Comans of Claremorris in the Connacht College's equivalent. The A senior final is at 12:30. It's live here, followed by Kerry against Donegal in Division 1 of the National League from Killarney. Alongside that, Leitrim against Laois in Division 3 will also be live from Ballinamore. A reminder, finally, this programme is available as a podcast on oceanfm.ie or wherever you get your pods. Search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week, same time, same place.